Hi friends, in the last book we studied about tourism marketing, what travel and tourism industry is all about, how it functions, what are the different components, what are the different factors needed to make travel and tourism a good, strong, viable business. Now while we have seen what travel and tourism is all about, let's see who are the people behind the travel and tourism. Who are the people responsible for travelers to grow around the world, travel to different cities, countries? This role is done by a very important person called the travel agent. It is the travel agent who makes your forms, who gets your airline tickets, who tries for discounts, will try and get you in a package, get you a holiday at a fixed price. We'll see to it that you can have the best possible stay in the best possible hotel. Now, if it wasn't for the travel agent, you would be running around to 10 hotels trying to get the best deal from all of them. But what you do is, you call the travel agent, you tell him your travel requirements. This is what I want. It's a holiday, it's leisure, whether it's a business trip or a conference. It is the travel agent who puts his brains, his hard work, his thoughts, and tells you this is what we can offer you. And all he earns in return is a small commission, which is probably from the hotel or from the car agency or probably from the airline. We will now in this book understand how the travel agency functions, how a travel agent works behind the lines for you to enjoy and have a lovely time. Let's start with chapter one right now. And the first chapter about travel agency is the history of the travel agents, how they came into being, how the growth started. We'll just see and go over a few slides telling you a brief history, actual history of travel. The first is growth of tourism, history of the travel agencies, role of the travel agent in travel distribution, present trends and problems, and future of the travel agent. So while we go into the past and see what travel is all about, we're going to come in the end to see what is the future of the travel industry, how it's going to go, how it is going to function. Let's study this further. Let's know about the ancient travelers, know the history of the travel industry, learn about the emergence of the travel intermediaries, and learn about the future of the travel agent. Earlier motivators of travel. Who were the earliest motivators of travel? What was the reason behind travel? The first motivation of travel was food, shelter, and safety. You see, if you see in the cave ages, people used to go from one place to the other hunting for food. You could see, man lived in the caves. He used to hunt animals. He used to probably go to a place where he found something to eat. But if that place became redundant, there was no food, there was no shelter, the person then started to travel, then started to go to another place, find a place which would have suitable conditions for him to get some food, for him to get some shelter to stay for his family. It was the primitive times. You did not know exactly where you are going, but you are moving in some just vague direction, trying to see, is there food over here? Can I find some place to stay? How about the cold? How about the rain? How am I going to survive the summer? What is the place that will give me some place shelter inside, which will not have any sunlight coming to me, the direct wind coming to me, the snow falling? All these factors are very important. What they did was, they killed animals and used their skin to cover their bodies. This was primitive time. So the reason of travel was totally different. It was not tourism, it was only travel for the sake of survival. The next thing after this, after man found clothing, he found shelter, after he started staying in places, there came up to be civilizations. Like many people started staying in one place, it became a civilization. Once it became a civilization, trade after money was invented in Babylonia. This was a civilization. What happened? They wanted to trade, they wanted to travel. So trade after money was invented in Babylonia. If you had to do something, you could do it with money. You could do it with certain coins, or there was a barter system. I give you this and you give me this. So that was a kind of a exchange. Why was it? Search for fertile land on the banks of the rivers. You wanted to find some land where you could grow crops. When man started understanding how crops are to be grown, how he can make vegetables, how he can have food from the ground. He started to go around finding fertile land, which was very important. When he found fertile land, he stayed in that place. When the fertile land was no longer fertile, infertile, he had to look for different location. So that became one reason again now for travel. Then sporting events and games. You had sporting events, civilizations used to play some games. Then they decided to make an event out of it. Like you must have seen in the movies of Ben-Hur and the Ten Commandments. The chariot races, which was very popular in Rome during the time of Julius Caesar. People came, they traveled from different villages with their horses, with their carriages to take part in this race. The chariot race was one of the most popular sporting events, and people used to come to take part, to win a crown, to get lots of money. So now that became a reason for travel, a sporting event. That was the first earlier time. People didn't travel for shopping right in the beginning. But it started happening gradually. Shopping also started happening gradually. Pleasure, health, spas and baths. You used to go to places where there were spas, there were baths. There were some specialized places in the olden time. People used to travel there to feel nice, to take care of their skin and bodies so that they will live longer. They always believed that if you kept yourself clean and healthy, you will live a very nice, long, healthy life. Pilgrimage. There was pilgrimage happening. People used to go on pilgrimages. People used to go to on the banks of a river to worship some deity. They used to go to some place because it was supposed to be that the Roman gods are there. So this was the earlier civilization which did all these things, which was travel. Now the ancient travelers, the Egyptians, organized the first cruises. What were the cruises? Visiting the Great Pyramids and the Sphinx. Now these were these small boats. You can't call them a cruise. They were small boats. They used to take them across the seas in the small boats. But for them, they were cruises because they cruised along a river, along a lake. Visiting the Great Pyramids and Sphinx. The pyramids by the Romans were very, very popular. People all over the world still go to see those pyramids. And they are there in Egypt. So they went, the Egyptians built pyramids, people used to go there. It was the tomb of great pharaohs, the great kings who had lived and died. The Romans traveled for luxury and relaxation. They wanted to relax, so they used to travel from one place to another. Sea bathing and spas were popular. Even at that time, sea bathing was very popular. Spas were there with natural resources to be able to, you know, make you feel good about your skin and body. Then traveled to participate in games and sporting events, like I said, the chariot race and other events. That was the reason for the first travel. Now the ancient travelers, the Asians, they traveled across the Silk Route for trading of silks and spices. So this is when travel began for business. The traders used to travel across the Silk Route for silks and spices. They wanted silk fabrics. It was becoming increasingly popular form of clothing. So the merchants wanted to go to buy and to be able to come to their towns and sell, buy good spices. That got them very good money. So travel for business came in. That is when people started traveling for business via boats. Travel for knowledge sharing and learning. You used to have kingdoms in the earlier years, in the early stages. People travel to learn. There were scholars who were sent across from their kingdoms all across the globe to be able to study different cultures, to be able to study and understand what other societies were, how other civilizations were developing. They were asked to see, they were asked to learn, they were asked to come back and share. So that was another reason why people started traveling. Chinese and Mongolians were avid travelers. The Chinese people and the Mongolians, they say in the China, you know, the educated people are revered very much. They are looked upon very highly. So if you're a scholar, if you're a master, you are looked upon with great respect, with great devotion, because they say that education and knowledge is supreme, the Chinese believe. So anyone who was that kind of a master was treated with a great lot of respect and given great dignity. The British traveled after the Industrial Revolution and the pioneers of modern tourism. Now British, as you can see, after the Industrial Revolution, they traveled, they become the pioneers in travel. Why? British ruled nearly half the globe. The first specialist in travel, individual inclusive travel, was Thomas Bennett from 1814 to 1898. He lived. In 1841, Thomas Cook organized his first tour for passengers, Leicester to Loughborough, with Midland Railways. With the help of railway line, he made the first travel trip, sent travelers from Leicester to Loughborough, charged the money, made a deal, and that was the first travel and tour for passengers. Cox & Kings is considered the oldest travel company in history. In 1848, they extended their service to companies other than the British officers. Which one? Cox & Kings. They, from the earlier times, they decided they are going to get into travel. And from 1848, they extended their service to many people across many walks of life. Thomas Cook introduced circular notes known as traveler's checks. They were specifically made for people who wanted to travel and did not have cash to be able to take traveler's checks. John Mason Cook of Thomas Cook established his first office in Mumbai and Calcutta in 1880. Just see how far that was. We take 120 and 15. 135 years back, J. Mason Cook established offices in Mumbai and Calcutta. And we wonder why they are such old travel agencies and such became such popular travel agencies. Now you know the answer. Cox & Kings set up 5 branches in India between 1905 and 1911. So if you go to Cox & Kings and see, they are one of the oldest. Today you will understand why they are so. They've been in the travel business for more than a century. And they've been serving people from all walks of life. So why won't they be looked up to, revered to? Now, like we said, the tourism suppliers are the airline companies, hotels, car rentals, DMC and cruise company. These are the people who have the products. They make, you know, the product available for the travel and tour industry, right? Now, the travel intermediary is who? The travel agent. The outbound, inbound tour operators. People who send you outside, outbound. People who bring you inside India. The inbound tour operators. They specialize. There are 2 different sections of it. The outbound section deals with always those people who are traveling outside India. That's a different, altogether different component. The inbound are those people who come into India. So we say it's outbound travel and inbound travel. So they're a tour operator. They create tours. Now suppose they say, like I said, you want to go to America for a tour of 1,69,000 rupees. Those are outbound tour operators. Then the one who bring you to India, visit the Golden Triangle, Jaipur, Delhi, Agra. Those are inbound tour operators who get your people from abroad into India. So they're inbound. So they're inbound tour operators. The tour wholesaler. There are many people who make tours wholesaling. They'll say, I made a tour for 1,95,000. The travel agent can, I'll give it to the travel agent for 1,80,000. Let him make 15,000. Let him sell it across and get me business. So what does the travel agent do? The tour operator makes a tour. He says that the hotel is with him, number of rooms are with him, the cabs are there, the travel transport is with him. He now only finds travel agencies who can get him. He gives him commission. He says, I don't want to make the magajmari of going and finding people. You find the people, get a commission. So it is the travel agent who does that, while the tour operators just plan a tour, make a tour. They are designers of holiday packages. So when they do that, people come and they want to enjoy. Then intermediaries. They right now everything is in information technology. So there are many companies which say, come and book with us. Come, we give you this deal. Come before this date and we can offer you something. Now what happens is some of the agencies, they make a commission from the hotel. So they pass on some of the commission to the customer. Well, if you go directly, the hotel is not going to lower the price. So it is better you go through a travel agent or through somebody and get a booking done. Global Distribution System, GD, Sabre, Amadeus, Galileo, WorldSpan. These are certain companies which we saw earlier. There are global distribution systems. Now, what is tourism suppliers? Tourism suppliers are those who give their products to suppliers. The indirect, that's the direct one. The indirect one is tourism supplier gives it to the travel agent. He gives it to the customer. Or the tourism supplier gives it to the wholesaler. Wholesaler gives it to the travel agent and travel agent gives it to the customer. For example, Oberoi might say, okay, I am giving Cox & Kings 500 rooms per year or 2,000 rooms per year. Now, it's his duty to sell the room. So what does Cox & Kings do? He knows he can't sell the room all by himself, all alone. So what he will do is he will call travel agents and tell them, I'll give you a commission, you sell this business for me, get me business. So they start selling groups. They also need some inventory. They also need some packages. So they in turn, the travel agent, the small travel agent, look after the tour operator, the big one, take the packages from them and start selling it. Tourism suppliers, wholesalers. There are certain wholesalers who have this product who say, okay, I'll buy whatever is there in the summer season from the hotel. You give me the package. Whether I sell or not, it's my problem. So that is a wholesaler. From the wholesaler, it goes to the travel agent. And from the travel agent, it goes to the customer. The wholesaler tells the travel agent, how many rooms you want? I'll give you 10 rooms. But you have to give me business at least 3 rooms every day. So what happens? Then the tour operator puts condition before the travel agent. And that, in turn, helps both the parties pitch aggressively to get more business. Travel intermediaries who assist in the distribution of traveler, travel agent, outbound, inbound tour operator, tour wholesalers. Now, wholesalers are known as tour operators. They buy in bulk from the producer of travels, products and services. What do? They buy in bulk. They'll tell the Taj Hotel, okay, Taj Hotel, keep 1,000 rooms for me in the coming year. I'm going to give you business of 1,000 rooms. Even if I can't send you customers, I'll pay for it. So what does Taj do? He says, okay, fine. You want business. You're ready to give it to me. Fine. I'm okay with it. You give me assurance that you'll give me this much business. I'll give you a special rate. So it's a win-win situation for both. Now, if the traveler gets a special rate, he'll pass on some rate to the customer. So if the customer feels he got a discount, he'll come back to this travel agent again. That's how the whole system works, right? Now, wholesalers are ones who break into manageable packages and set to smaller units. They make packages for smaller units, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000. Do Nepal for 29,999. Such ads keep coming, you know, in the papers. So that is what they do. They will make tours and packages benefited for the small people and then sell it. Now, the wholesaler, he'll say, tell the Taj, I'll give you 500 room nights. Give me a special deal. So they will buy 500, they will pay the money for 500 room nights in a year. And I'll take it on any of the dates. Now what the Taj will say, okay, I'll give it to you. But I'll not give you during Christmas and I'll not give you Diwali discounts because that is my peak season. So what the travel agent says or the tour operator says, okay, this to this date, I will not take the room. Any other days, I'm entitled to take 500 rooms. I will give you bookings for those. My rate will be this special because I'm giving you the business here is 50% advance. The rest I'll give you after 1 month. Taj also says, okay, here I'm getting 500 business of 500 rooms. Why shouldn't I do that? So, fine, sell it to me and I sell less rate. Now, what that tour operator does, in turn, if the rate is 12,000, the tour operator will get it for 8,000. He'll start selling it to the travel agent for 9,000. The travel agent will sell it for 10,000. So, this is how everyone makes money. Now, the travel agent won't go to the hotel because, you know, he will not get the same rate as the tour operator will give him because the tour operators have got a better deal. So, these in turn, via, everyone makes money. Everyone is happy and the customer is also happy. Wow, I instead of 12,000, I got a rate of 10,000. So, this is how the whole system works. Now, they break into bulk manageable packages and sell it to smaller agents, like we said. Nowadays, wholesaler also marketing directly. Wholesaler is good rate. He'll tell the customer, Baba, I will give you a special rate, come to me. The poor travel agent is gone, he won't get business. So they're becoming very smart, everyone wants to make money. So what this guy will do is, he will sell to the companies directly, send an email, sir, I'm offering you Taj at this rate. You come to Oberoi, it's at this rate. So it is a special deal. Customers are happy, wow, what a rate, 9,000 rupees, deadly, no way, nobody can give me that rate. So this is how the travel agency, the business takes place. Now, what is the definition of the travel agent? A travel agent is a retail business agent or an intermediary who sells travel-related products and services to customers on behalf of suppliers, which may include sightseeing tours, packages, holidays that may combine several products. The agents work on commission basis. They are paid commissions on the products handled. So what they do is they sell travel-related products to the people, to the customers, and what are the products? Sightseeing, packages, stay, everything. The agents work on a commission basis. Suppose I sell a tour of 1 lakh. Travel agent says he made a deal of 1 lakh. He'll get 5%, he'll get 5,000 rupees for the entire tour that he made. 1 lakh rupees, he made a 5,000 rupees commission. So that's how business comes. Travel agents benefits both the traveler through provision of a second of a value added service and the supplier by providing extra exposure to his product. So what do the travel agents do? They benefit both the traveler through the provision of a value added services. They'll say, no, boss, I'll give you breakfast also. In this deal, I'm giving you breakfast. Now what does he do? He has to say that. And the tour operator, if he says that, the hotel has to agree because the tour operator is giving him so much business. So they are providing extra exposure to the product. So this is a hand-in-glove deal with everyone. So they all make good money. What are the advantages of a travel agent? Let's see over here. Advantage is use expertise to save time. I go to a travel agent, tell him, I'm going to Europe with my family. Tell me some plan. Sir, 1,20,000 rupees. Just come right now. New rate, fresh rate. Where are we staying? Sir, you're staying in this hotel. Everything worked out. Where are you going to go? You're going to get by bus. You're going to do sightseeing. You're going to go here. You're going to go there. So everything has been chalked out and worked out. Then offers a human touch. When you say the travel agent, obviously instead of speaking to someone on a telephone, instead of speaking to airline companies, when you meet a travel agent, you get to know the person. The chances are the person will make you feel comfortable and you will want to book your tour through him. So that is the reason the travel agent has to be there. It's a very big advantage for the travel agent. Reduce the insecurity. This guy says, I am going abroad. What about my security? Travel agent says, hey, boss, aap 2,000 rupees ka insurance le lo. Everything is insured. Your stay is insured. Your accident is insured. Your stuff is insured. Khama leke ho, kitna bhi is insured. Aap bhi bolte, theek hai, it's not bad. Something happens to me. It will take the insurance. So, it will definitely lower the risk. What disadvantage of travel agent? Are biased for some suppliers. They have inconvenient timings. Now, they'll say, one airline will say, I'm tumko jyada commission deta hai. New business. So, you start pushing for the airline. Sir, take this airline, take this airline. All people who want to go on that route or maybe different route, they'll start selling Air India only. Why? Air India is offering more commission. I'm just talking as a general. Then, have inconvenient timings. Now, obviously, the stores have inconvenient timings. If I say 10 o'clock in the night, no store is going to help me. Right? Nobody will come across and help me. I have to do everything on my own. But thank God to the net and thank God to the e-forms, we can tell them, this is my date, please call me back. Next day, there will be a call. Add little value to the tourism product. What value do you add? Nothing. You can just turn around and say that I make things faster for people who commute. Besides that, what do the metro people have to go? What do these other kind of people have to do? They add little value to the tourism product. Now, while we are talking of e-mediaries, their virtual travel agency is known as e-mediaries. They are electronic booking systems, fulfilling the traditional intermediary role of travel agents. Online intermediaries organizations offering services via a network of virtual channels to stakeholders. Examples are Expedia.com, Travelocity.com. Now, what do these e-mediaries do? They are portals through which you can do your bookings, go online, just click, make a payment. There are systems and all you have to do is just tell what package you want, what holiday you want, and the entire system works on its own. You will get a receipt, you will get the details, the company will contact you, tell you when 3 days before or 4 days before your travel schedule, that sir, this is what is there. And if there are any visas or systems or things to be put in place, the company follows up with you and does the same for you. So these are intermediaries which make your life easier. You don't need to go to a travel agent, you need to go anywhere. You just need to go to the portal and do your bookings. Now, single supplier and direct sellers. Direct sellers are BritishAirways.com, JetAirways.com. You go on the portal, click. You want to book a ticket and there you are. You get your ticket. So, it's a direct selling. All you have to do is just purchase it, buy it. Online travel agencies, Expedia.com, Bookers.com and Booking.com. Now, these are online travel agencies. Where online travel agencies see that your booking is done through the portal itself. You need to go and do your booking and that's it. It's over. The travel date is mentioned. If there's anything that you need to know, there's always a hyperlink which says contact us. You can contact them and clarify your doubts. Offline agencies develop their online provision, thomascook.com. Now, offline agencies who had offices. You see, like we discussed and we said in tourism marketing, information technology is very important nowadays. The world is not functioning without information technologies because computers are today the basis of any functions. So You go, you have an online presence, you get your bookings done, you have to show what your company is all about. There is something in, that is through the internet that has been developed, which are called websites. Now, websites are pages on the com which show you what a company is all about. Once you see the website, you understand there may be hundreds and hundreds of pages and links and thousands probably. You go and you clear your doubts and do your booking with any one office or agent that you like. Online search engines, skyscanner.com, Google is there. Skyscanner helps you find out more about tourism, about marketing, where you can go. And these are different formats which are doing very well nowadays, and it's the norm of the day. GDS or Global Distribution Systems refer to the reservation tool travel agents use when making an air, hotel, car, or other travel service booking. The Global Distribution System provides pricing, availability, and reservation functionality to many online travel agencies. So what does GDS do? The Global Distribution System, it could show you how to do your booking through in a hotel, in a for a car provision, for an airline. This is a format. It's a reservation tool that is used by travel agents. Examples are Amadeus, Galileo, and Sabre. These are certain companies which are reservation tools for booking your customers' requirements through the portals. Consolidation, smaller travel agents merging with larger groups. What happens? A smaller agent decides that we will work only with this agency, we will give business to only one agency. So that becomes a kind of a integration. It's a kind of a merger. That smaller travel agent will work for a bigger travel agent. The bigger travel agent says, look, I'm giving you Southeast Asia. Sell Southeast Asia as much as you want. We'll give you the hotels, we'll give you the rooms, we'll give you everything. See to it that you get maximum booking. So what do the smaller travel agents? He puts ads, he sends mail to his customers, he'll send them reminders on the mobile that these are the packages, this is the offers that we have, and try and sell everything that the bigger tour operator or the travel agency has to sell. So the bigger tour operator, what he's done, he's given this guy commission, and that guy is doing all the hard work to get the business. So this is how they work together in tandem, because the smaller travel agent then has a specific product to be sold, and it is easier because it has been well designed, and because it's by a travel, by a tour operator. The tour operator work in a lot of detailing. So they see how they can offer the best possible combination of stay, hotel, travel, leisure, sightseeing, and back. So the ready-made product is offered to the travel agent, designed by the tour operator, and both know how best to milk this product. Expert travel. Now let's see vertical integration. When we talk about integration, vertical integration between airlines and airlines, like we said, Star Alliance. All airlines come together. So if you book only through this airline, then you get money. Horizontal integration between airlines and hotels, like we discussed earlier in tourism management. The airline says, you travel with us, you get a special discount to stay at the Marriott or probably at any of the other hotels. It could be probably a Marriott hotel. It could probably be the Meridian hotel. There could be a group of hotels listed with an airline or tie up with the airline. So what happens is, because that airline is flying, that airline decides to tie with the hotel. So the hotel gets business, and in turn, when the hotel has clients, and the clients come and ask, listen, we need a ticket, the hotel will refer that airline. So please try Malaysia, or please try and fly Northwest Airlines. These are good airlines. We have a tie-up. We give you good rates. So both are helping each other. It's a merger. Help each other. Integration to be able to grow their individual respective businesses. Now, airline is not a threat to hotel, and hotel is not a threat to airline. So they can work together in tandem to create business for each other. Expert travel advisors charging consultation fees as against commission. They charge you a fee. Sir, this is my fee that I will charge you. You want a wedding done in the Maldives? Agreed. Fine. We will do it for you. This is a special fee. Everything is left to me. Right from you reaching the airport, or right from the cars being arranged to pick you up from your hold, to bring you to the airport, we'll have a staff at the airport who will see that your check-in and everything is fine. Please see the baggage is not extra. We will get everything done. If you have a little extra baggage, we'll try and pull that off for you also. When that is done, you go there, you reach, suppose you are going to, let's say, Malaysia. Or probably from there, you're going to one of the beaches resort. So you decide that this person is there. He will come. Somebody will be there at the airport to receive you abroad, take you into coaches or cars, leave for the beach resort, everyone, to enjoy a fun-filled wedding. You don't have to. The father is not running. The mother is running. The sister is not running. That this arrangement is made. That arrangement is made. Everything has been taken care of by the tour operator planned or by the travel agent, expert travel agent, who himself will probably might be there to oversee that everything goes fine. Expert travel advisor, charging consultation fees as akin commissions. Travel agent use various channels to reach out to customers. They offer booking options through the internet, mobile and calling centers. Calling centers, mobiles, they send you emails, messages, sir, new package come out, sir, new deals come out. Everyone likes to read it. Who knows, somebody might decide to go. At least they can avail of it. The future travel agent needs the technology and tools to help a consumer make a simple transaction. They have the technology, they need the tool now. They have to make the transaction simple and simple as much as they can, so that in the future, the customer can travel more easily without any complications, headache. They're trying to break his head, waste his time in enjoying or probably making his whole holiday trip or leisure trip. The future agent should be able to serve the client 24/7. That is because today all portals are there. You can do your bookings 24/7 even if someone is not working in that office. For example, Yatra. You do a booking through Yatra. You know nobody is there at 10 o'clock in the night in Yatra office. They have left for the day. What do you do a booking? What happens next morning? The staff comes in, they see a booking, they call you back. You leave your number, they call you back and say, sir, thank you for your booking. How can we help you? And they try the whole, they explain the whole process or the tour or whatever you book with them to see that you are clear about the matter and everything is fine. Mergers, alliances, partnerships, developments, redevelopments. These are all part of the business now. Mergers, like I said, you have alliances like a Starwell alliance, different alliance. You have alliance between hotels and airlines. You have different kinds of developments. The future travel agent should use all available e-platform to deliver products. Future travel agents will have to be dynamic, flexible, and innovative strategies. Obviously, because there are new plans, new ideas coming up every day. So you have to be very flexible. You have to be dynamic. You have to be one step ahead to be always in touch with the latest technological trends in the world and see how you can go about serving your customer in the best possible way. The only winner in the future will be the consumer. Why? Because the consumer will have a number of options. I'm not getting this, I'm going there. If I don't get this, I'll go there. So you have to be very careful in seeing that you give the best to the consumer. What are the five trends? Decline of the upmarket offices, more online places coming up, offering options to book. You have different options. You can book via debit card, credit card. You have an option that you can probably, you know, give us your bank statement. If it's good, we can give you a repayment facility of 24 months. Even that is happening nowadays. Qualified travel managers. There will be travel managers who will be, three people will say, you want to go to America? These two guys look after America. These two guys are specializing in Europe. They've been all over. Now, if you say Europe and say, I want to go to the countryside, they'll suggest the countries. They'll say which countries you should go and visit the countryside of. Then they tell you what is the best possible way, the train, the bus, the coach. So they'll offer you different prices. They'll become an expert on that area and that field. Then it is up to you to take their advice and listen and then work upon it. Consortia and alliances. You have different consortiums, you have different alliances to see that you push ahead and you're not working alone. Niche products. What is a niche product? Come on, tell me a niche product. Niche product is a wedding. A niche product is underwater wedding planned in Indonesia or somewhere. So these are different ways how travel agents can create and do business and the history of how travel agencies started. Thank you.